Acts chapter 1, I'm excited about preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you look at the book of Acts, you see God doing some amazing things. You see God working in miraculous ways. You see people being saved. You see a church growing. You see just most amazing things happening in so many people's lives. And you wonder, if you're like me, you wonder why. Why did that happen? Why is it that Peter got up and preached and the other disciples are with him and 3,000 people got saved and baptized all in one day? Why is it that the Bible says multitudes were added to the church daily, such as should be saved? I believe that God was blessing in a huge way as the disciples obeyed the command of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." As the disciples obeyed the Great Commission, the power of God was upon them, and God worked miraculously in this time period. And as I read the book of Acts, I wonder, could God do that again? Could God see thousands of people saved at one time again? Could God add to the church daily such as should be saved again? And I believe the answer is yes, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what I want to do is I want to look at the book of Acts, and I want to look at what was it about those disciples? What did they do? What was it about them that allowed God to work through them in such a powerful way? And as we study this series, we're calling it "And God," because God responded in such a huge way in so many times through the book of Acts. We'll see those as we go. Why? Why? Well, here's one reason, and we're going to see it. I'll read the verses first. Acts chapter 1, look at verse 1, we'll read through verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The very beginning of the book of Acts tells us that the apostles were gathered together and Jesus showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering. He died, he came back, and he showed himself alive. And then the disciples went out and changed the world. The Bible says that their enemies even said, they have turned the world upside down. What was it that happened? And I'm going to give you so many thoughts about this, but here's today. The disciples personally experienced the resurrected Savior. What was it that was different about them? What changed in the lives of the disciples? They personally experienced the resurrected Savior. What happened between the night Jesus was arrested and the disciples all ran away in fear and the day they boldly stood up to proclaim the name of Jesus? What happened? Something was different. Something happened because that one night Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas came and kissed him and betrayed him. The soldiers arrested him and every one of his disciples, everybody that followed him ran away. They all fled. Every single one, Jesus was left by himself. What changed? What happened in their hearts? What happened in their minds? So that not very many days later, a month or two later, they were standing in public preaching the name of Jesus, the very name that Peter had denied. Now he was publicly preaching. What happened? Well, the answer is simple. The resurrection happened. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in history. But to Christians who've heard about it all their life, it has lost its impact. I'm going to just be really honest with you and very transparent with you. Sometimes as I read my Bible, I'm going through the last chapter of Matthew or right towards the last chapter of Mark or Luke or right towards the end of John, and I'm reading my Bible. I've fallen asleep reading that chapter before. You don't have to raise your hand here, okay? But have you ever fallen asleep reading your Bible? I mean, you're reading it and maybe you just kind of nodded off, or maybe you went all the way and your face was on the page and you're stuck to it, right? But how can we do that? No, I'm not saying you're bad or wicked or evil. But how can we do that when we're reading the story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What's going on? Well, I think often we've heard about it so much. It doesn't have the impact it used to have. What would happen if you worked for the newspaper? Does anybody even read the newspaper anymore? We get our news off the internet, right? What happened if you worked for a newspaper? And if it's on the internet, it's true, so that's why you got it. Or if it's on TV, it's true. So you work for the newspaper, and you're the one that takes the calls. You know, if somebody sees a news story happening, they call this number, and you pick it up, and you decide if it's a story worthy of sending a reporter out to cover. And you're sitting there, it's a slow day at work, and the phone rings, you pick it up, and somebody on the other line says this. You're not going to believe this, but I work at this funeral home, and they brought this dead body in 3 days ago, and I was getting it ready for the funeral, and that dead body came back to life. Now, you're on the other side of this. First of all, you're going to think they're crazy. You don't believe it. But then as you start following it up and you start researching it, you realize that person really did. They've been dead for 3 days. They came back to life. Unbelievable. This would make the headlines. This would not only make the headlines here locally, this would make the headlines around the world. Somebody that was dead came back to life. It just doesn't happen. But we'll sing songs like, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Right? I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying this is where we are. This is where we are. We've heard it so much. We've heard about the resurrection. He lives. He rose again. We'll say it, but we don't really stop and think about it. Here was a man who was dead. I mean, dead, dead. He didn't just pass out. He was dead for 3 days. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. And 3 days later, he came back to life. What happened in the lives of the disciples? Why were they scared and ran away one day? But not long after that, they were standing in public after they'd been threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus. And here they were preaching in the name of Jesus boldly, not worrying if anybody was going to arrest them or not. What happened? The resurrection happened. The small group of men called the apostles had grown close to Jesus. They had each left something to follow him. Some of them left businesses. Some of them left careers. Some of them left families. Some of them left properties and investments. Peter actually said, we have left all. We've left all and followed thee. Jesus had called them to follow him, and they did. They'd grown close to him. They saw his compassion. They saw his love for hurting people. They stayed by his side when others left. You know, some people only came for the miracles, but they stayed there with him. Some people thought Jesus would start a revolution against the government of Rome, and when they didn't see him doing it, they left, but the disciples stayed. At times, thousands of people followed Jesus. Then they went away, and there was only a handful left. One time was in John chapter 6. The Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. They stayed with him. They followed him. But there was a time when even the closest of disciples turned their back on Jesus. Picture that garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes up, he kisses Jesus as a sign of betrayal. We think about Peter most of the time. When we think about denying Jesus Christ, who do we think about? Peter. He's the one that denied Jesus Christ, at least most vocally, denied him three times, the rooster crowed. Don't forget about what happened that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just picture that. Jesus was falsely accused and arrested. He wasn't guilty, but he was still taken away and he was arrested. Here's the story. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude of swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and elders. And he that betrayed him, that's Judas, had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. You remember that story? And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And then the Bible says, and they all forsook him and fled. Jesus was falsely arrested, and everybody, or he was arrested but under false accusations. Everybody that had followed him, even his closest disciples, even Peter, who just the same night said, I would die for thee before I would deny thee, he ran away. They all ran away. Jesus was left alone. None of his followers stayed with him. Jesus came to introduce to us the kingdom of God. Then just days before his greatest moment, he was abandoned by everyone. He faced a false trial alone. It appeared that everything he had tried to accomplish during his short life came crumbling down around him before he'd even finished building it. What happened next was the greatest turn of events in history. Here's Jesus alone. Everybody's left him. Nobody's standing with him. Nobody's defending him. Nobody's by his side. But within 3 days, the greatest turn of events, Jesus was buried. I'm sorry, he died on the cross. He was buried. Then 3 days later, he rose again. Now, most of us hear that and say, yeah, I know this. But wait a minute. He was dead. A dead man brought himself back to life. He was alive. The disciples who had run away in fear now had boldness that comes from knowing that they were unstoppable. They couldn't keep Jesus dead, so they can't stop us from doing anything that Jesus wants us to do. Think about that. I could see the fear that would be in their hearts because Jesus, their leader, had just been taken and executed. And if they were to do the same things that Jesus did, if they were to follow him, who knows what would happen to them? But he came back to life. He's worth following. I'll follow him. After the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were changed men. They were personally impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were driven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had boldness like no one on earth. They were servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who had just conquered death itself, the most feared enemy of the human race. If there's anybody who was going to have boldness, it was these men who had just seen death conquered. There was nobody that could stop them. Not even death could stop Jesus, and they were following him. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. What were they doing? They were going out into public. They were going to the temple. They were going house to house, and they were telling people about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not just any man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He's not just a rabbi. He is God, and he proved it because he came back to life. I'll serve him. Philippians 3:10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Listen, if we really believed that Jesus came back to life after being dead for 3 days, we'd treat his work differently. We would be a different church. We'd be a different kind of people if we really believed that Jesus came back to life. Now, I believe that you really do believe that Jesus came back to life, but maybe it's just become so cliche, something we just say. Something we just hear about. We hear about it at church. We sing songs about it. But if we really believed that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, came to this earth, died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for my sins, was buried, and rose again of his own power 3 days later, we would be different than we are. We'd take it seriously. We'd spend more time doing God's work. We'd put more effort into it. Really, who else has ever brought themselves back to life that's worth following? Nobody. There's nothing else in this life that has a leader. There's no other institution. There's no other group. There's no other club anywhere in this world who has a leader that died and came back to life and said, since I came back to life, now I want you to go tell everybody about me and dying and paying for sins and coming back to life. There's nobody else like that. Nobody else ever died and brought themselves back to life. The disciples were totally convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. I think you and I are convinced. I think we believe it. I think that, you know, in our minds, we see it written down in the Bible, but maybe it's just because it's so long ago. Maybe it's because it's so far away. Maybe it's because we hear it so much, but it doesn't seem to impact us like it impacted them. If the resurrection would impact us like it impacted them, our world would be changed. Our city would be turned upside down. Look at this, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The sepulcher is where Jesus was buried. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, we've heard this story so many times, too, it really doesn't have much impact. But stop and think about this. Here they are, they're going to the tomb, and here they see an angel, right? His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. By the way, Galilee's 70 miles away. It's going to take 3 or 4 days to get there. And he says, I want to go to Galilee so that I can see you. And look at verse number 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So here's Mary and another Mary, and there's some other ladies there as well. They come to the Sunday morning, early in the morning. They come to the grave where Jesus was buried because they really didn't get a chance to finish up preparing him for burial. It was the night before the Sabbath, and they had to do it quickly. They had taken him off the cross. They'd wrapped him very quickly. They'd put him into the tomb, hoping that 3 days later, after the Sabbath was done, they could come and they could do a proper job of burying him. Well, they came to the sepulcher, this place, like a cave with a stone covering it, and they were saying to themselves, how are we going to get the stone off? How are we going to get access to this body that's in there that we want to wrap and put the spices and all that stuff on there? How are we going to do that? They get there, and the Bible says they see the angel. There was an earthquake. There was an angel sitting there. The Bible says they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Well, there were some reasons to be afraid. Listen, an angel suddenly appeared in the cemetery where a dead man was supposed to be. Do you understand this? We've got all these wonderful, biblical, spiritual ideas of how this worked out. They're in a cemetery looking for a dead man. The angel appears. Wait just a minute. How many of us have... Well, never mind, don't raise your hand. Somebody's just going to... As soon as I say, how many of us have seen angels? Somebody's going to raise their hand and want to tell us the whole story. But I have never seen an angel, all right? I've never seen an angel sitting up on the rock where a dead man was supposed to be. The Bible says his face was like lightning. We saw some lightning last night in this thunderstorm that came through. His face is like lightning. His clothes are white like snow. There's some reasons to be afraid. The guards that were watching the tomb had just fallen over dead. Okay, you're Mary or Mary. You choose which one you want to be, okay? You're Mary and you're going to the tomb. There's an earthquake. An angel sitting there in this place where graveyards kind of freak me out sometimes. I would go there to the graveyard sometimes at night to pray because it was quiet. Nobody else was there. I'd walk around a little bit and I just realized this is kind of creepy. So I went and I'd sit in my car with the doors locked and pray, right? But they're in the graveyard. There's an earthquake. There's an angel sitting there. And now all the guards that were there are dead. Now they weren't really dead. They fell over as dead men. We see that they came back. But Mary and Mary didn't know that. They're looking around. There's all these dead guys sitting here. There's an angel sitting on this rock. The angel with a face like lightning and shining clothes spoke to them and said, fear not. Step inside the tomb. Okay. We know the story. So we're like, okay, they go inside the tomb. They see that he's risen. Wait a minute. Would you go inside the tomb? I don't know that I would. They're in a cemetery with an angel talking to them with dead people laying all around on top of the ground. The soldiers looked like they had died. They weren't really dead. They just looked like it. The angel says, hey, don't be afraid. Come into the tomb. Yeah, right, I'm going into that tomb. Right, well, I don't know what they were thinking, but they go and they see that Jesus is not there. His clothes that were wrapped around him are there. The napkin folded over on the side. Then the Bible says they left. They departed quickly. Yeah, I understand that. With fear and great joy. There were some reasons to be afraid, but there were some reasons to be joyful here. Jesus had come back to life. They saw the angel. The tomb was empty. They didn't fall over dead like the Roman soldiers. Another reason to be joyful. They run away in fear, yeah, but in great joy. Jesus had come back to life. The one who had come to introduce the kingdom of heaven, the one who had come to pay the price, he died on the cross and shed his blood, and that one had come back to life. He appeared to the two Marys. He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. What an amazing story that was. They didn't recognize him. The Bible says he appeared in a different form. And they didn't recognize him until he stopped to pray before dinner. Then their eyes were open. The Bible says they realized who he was and he disappeared before them. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room. He appeared to them at the Sea of Galilee. He spent 40 days with them. So back to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or after his suffering by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days. The same Jesus that appeared to the disciples. The same Jesus that changed the disciples. The same Jesus that filled the disciples with power and courage and boldness. The same Jesus that saved them from hell and forgave them of their sins and gave them eternal life wants to save you. The same Jesus. This ought to be one of those moments where we stop and sit back and go, wow. That same Jesus that we've been preaching about, he wants to save me. He wants to forgive me. He wants to give me eternal life? Absolutely. That's why he came. Jesus came, he said, I came to seek the lost, to seek and save the lost. Listen, this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same Jesus that we've been preaching about, the one that died on the cross, the one that rose from the dead, he wants to save you. That means rescue you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants to save you. If you will accept him, he will. But more than just that, he wants to empower you. He wants to use you. He wants you to be able to live like these disciples did in the book of Acts, where they would go out and they would share the gospel and people were getting saved and they would preach and lives were changed and hearts were changed and thousands and thousands of people were trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. He wants to use you like that. He wants to save you. That same Jesus. He wants to empower you. He wants to use you to push back the gates of hell. He wants to use you to reach a city with the gospel. That same Jesus. What we don't get sometimes, I don't understand it exactly, maybe because it happened 2,000 years ago, and we think, well, that was just for them. No, it wasn't just for them. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the world. That power wasn't just for them. The same Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, the Bible says dwells in us whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said this, the works that I do, the same shall ye do, and greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. I would love to see Jesus work now like he worked then. Can you just imagine that? Could you just imagine our family members getting saved, our friends getting saved, the people in the city getting saved? The Bible says even the priests got saved. The priests were the ones that, they were the ones responsible for taking Jesus to crucify him. The Bible says a great number of the priests got saved. Wow. God wants to do that. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What was different? What was different about the disciples? What changed? They personally experienced the risen Savior. Does your life need to change? Maybe you've never had forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're still living in guilt because you know that you're a sinner and you need your life to change. Jesus can change your life. He changed theirs. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can have eternal life. He said He would do that. Maybe you've been saved already. Maybe you know you're saved. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior sometime in the past. And you know you're saved. He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. Would you let Him do that? Father, thank You that You came to this earth. You died on the cross and You rose again. Lord, I believe that if we would let that impact us like it impacted the disciples, we would be different people. Lord, I pray that as we go into this week that You would help us to live as if we really believed that You rose again. I believe that You can change us. I believe You can change our city. I believe You could change this world if people would, if Christians, people like me would simply let You work through us, the resurrected Savior.